Blog Talk Radio.
We'll do it live! Do it live! I'll write it and we'll do it live! Thing sucks!
Hell yeah, we're live! It's back 2015! The Saints picked a guy in the second round. Andrew, am I getting this right? Ha-O-Lee-K-Kaha, a linebacker from Washington? Is that correct?
It's Kaha. Ha-O-Lee-K-Kaha. Yeah.
Ka-O-Lee-K-Kaha. He gets a lot of sacks, and he had major knee problems, which is par for the course of the Saints. They love linebackers with knee problems. Is that right?
That's right.
But it was like 2 years ago, so it's fine, right? It's not like he's got like a cadaver ligament like your boy.
No. I mean, look, man, he had 13 sacks in 2013, 19 sacks a year ago in 14 games. And I think that the naysayers are going to immediately point to his knee injuries. They're going to point to his 40 time, not great measurables at the combine. But the bottom line is the dude's productive. The dude has done it on the field. He led the nation in sacks. He was by far the most consistent getting to the quarterback, played in a pretty good conference. I think you got to feel good about this pick. I love it.
Is he doing anything else?
No.
Or is he like
really
Gillette?
Well, I mean, he's a smart football player. So, you know, I think unlike Junior Gillette, who really is a one-trick pony and gets to the quarterback with speed, I think he's more of just like a relentless motor guy. So I think, you know, he has good moves. I think it's less about speed with him and more about moves, body leverage, because he's a former wrestler. And it's more
Kevin,
just about relentless effort.
Kevin, what wrestling move do you want to see him do against Atlanta?
Yeah, this is perfect for Kevin. Pop. He's a wrestler.
Yeah, powerbomb. Mm-hmm. Powerbomb easily. Either a powerbomb or a perfect plex. Yeah. Of those two would just be, they would definitely be worth the 15-yard penalty.
Kevin, the Saints didn't trade down, which was your dream scenario, but they didn't trade up. So I'm thinking you're pretty happy about the draft so far, right?
Oh, I'm quite happy. So not only did they not trade up, they also took, with their first pick, a guy that I had the Rams taking and that everybody at Canal Street Chronicles castigated me on. I was raked over the cold. I was told it was a reach. Yeah, well,
yeah.
You know what? I will gladly take the boring safe pick. I will gladly take the boring safe pick, who is likely to have half of his tweets featuring the hashtag Spawn, than a guy tries to remove himself from the draft for some sort of investigation.
Andrew, he can't play guard, Pete. And the Saints are like, we're not moving Streif or Armstead to guard. So, and it's not the worst scenario in the world, but they just may have spent the 13th pick in the draft on tackle eligible guy.
Maybe in year one, Ralph, but I mean, I think we need to realize that when you make draft picks, it's not for one season. You know, you hope to at least, at a minimum, get 5 years out of the guy before he hits free agency. Or, if you're really lucky, you get a guy that lasts 10 years or more with the team. And so this really isn't about 1 year. And Andrus Peat, if it's not 2015, by 2016, I can promise you, there is a strong chance he will be starting for the Saints. And in the interim, yes, you're right, in 2015 he might be the tackle eligible. But I think you've got to look at this draft as a whole. And so far, what I think the Saints have been able to add, you know, what's the common trait between these three guys? I think they've gotten character guys. They've gotten leaders. They've gotten guys that they can trust, that they can count on. None of these three guys, I can promise you, are going to be character issues for the Saints. And obviously they take that seriously, and obviously that was important to them in this draft. And so all of these Twitter draft experts that had them taking Gregory and Shane Ray and all these other guys, well, the Saints have passed on all those guys, and they took highly productive, high character guys because that's how they believe they're going to turn this team around.
High five to me and you, Andrew. You had the piece explaining that they just don't take character risk in the first two round, and I put it in my Channel 4 column. So we got a couple calls.
Yeah, it's not like they just picked up decent guys. I mean, they picked up guys who are known for being locker room leaders and the strongest character of their team.
All right, we got a couple calls, so I want to try to get to them quickly. We identify you by the last four digits of your phone number. First up, 0274. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hey, what's up, Ralph? It's Brian from Saints Nation.
All right, Brian. So we can have like a held off.
Oh, yeah.
Here. I'm excited. All right. So, Kevin, what do you think of the linebacker from Clemson first? And then we'll get Brian, and I want to have a held off.
I'm mostly happy for your wife, Ralph.
Why is that?
Because I think that the fact that the Saints actually, that not only did the Saints, but the Sean Payton Saints went ahead and drafted a linebacker in the first round of an NFL draft. And, you know, I mean, surely that had to be enough to get your wife pregnant.
It probably did. It's a miracle. First time in 20 years it happened. I like that. That's a good joke, Kevin. I didn't know where you were going. You wigged and you wagged and you got there. Boom! So, Brian, give me your thoughts on Anthony the linebacker.
I did a couple of write ups for him on Saints Nation.
Dude,
and if you're looking at upside, I actually think he might be better than Kendricks. I think upside wise he's the best linebacker in this class. You want a guy who he compares to? I've seen a number of different sources favorably compare him to Bobby Wagner. That's ooh, potential. Ooh. He's not there yet. But if we get 2/3 of what Bobby Wagner is in Seattle, yes please. Forget pregnant. She might be having twins.
All right.
And to Kevin's question, TK Hop is going to put Matt Ryan as
Wait, wait. Is Kevin,
sure.
is Kevin or Brian talking right now? Because I really just
I'm confused. So now we're gonna argue. All three of you can jump in, but
it's
I argued.
It's
with
not, it
on.
Sounds like too much football knowledge to be Kevin.
It clearly is.
Yeah, but Kevin was in his wheelhouse with the wrestling and the pregnancy joke. That's peak Kevin Held right there. So, but here's the thing. We're going to argue right now. I said on Twitter, and people just attacked me, a couple of people, and I like the linebacker picks. I like the Clemson pick. I like the guy. I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his name, Kakaha or whatever. I like the
picks. You
got
it. Nailed it.
But Andrew, when the Saints pick a linebacker, it scares the shit out of me. They are going on 15 years of abominable linebacker picks. Do I need to name any of them? And to say, well, these guys from this year aren't the same players as they picked before, that's true. But they have a history of not knowing what the fuck they're doing when they're picking linebackers. And I'm not saying the picks are bad. I'm just saying I'm really nervous. Is that fair?
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think it's fair to look at recent history and point to it to say, look, the best linebacker that was drafted in the Sean Payton era is Marvin Mitchell, a seventh-round pick that started a handful of games. That's literally the best linebacker they've drafted in the Sean Payton era. And if you go back to Loomis prior to Sean Payton, it's even worse. But I think the bottom line is you can't let past history – stop you from drafting guys that you think are going to help your football team. And look, it's a hole. It's a need for this team. So you can't just ignore it because you haven't been good in the past. If you ask me what's different, I don't think you can associate past history to new drafts. I mean, it's a different scouting team. It's a different scheme in general than, you know, now the defense is 3-4 and it's been that way for the last 2 years. You know, past history, they were drafting 4-3 linebackers, completely different skill set, different players. And so I think you just have to hope the scouting department did a better job this time around, that the new scheme, these guys are going to be a good fit for it. And I think, again, you go back to production, these guys were highly productive. I don't know that I can think of too many linebackers. I mean, first of all, there wasn't anyone in college football as productive as Kekaha last year. He was the most productive. So I think you just have to hope that the Saints are able to coach him up.
Here, let me jump in on this one real quick.
All right, well, I want to ask
you,
Brian, I want to ask Kevin a question. Kevin, when Leonard Williams started to fall yesterday, how scared were you that it was going to come across the ticker, we have a trade and the little Florida lead was going to pop up at pick number 5 for Washington?
I got to be honest, I was only able to follow the draft on Twitter simply because I was at work last night and I'm actually at work tonight. So
yeah,
my draft following is going on Twitter, which actually might not be that bad considering all the criticism I've been reading about how apparently the telecast is like a full minute or so.
Dude, the telecast was we'll get to that, Kevin.
It's
we might
like,
get to that on Monday. It was an abortion. Like the telecast, it was fucking both. It was terrible all around. The telecast couldn't keep up with the picks, and they weren't tweeting out the picks early on Twitter. The Saints pick was in the 31 pick for like, what do you think, like 15 minutes? I think. But anyway, Brian, go ahead. What were you going to say?
Real quick, one of the things I was going to say is, Loomis and Peyton have sucked at drafting linebackers. And part of that is just because they haven't been able to develop them worth a crap, because Joe Vitt is an amazing press conference and really does not develop linebackers well. The other part of that, though, is all the guys they've drafted have been projects. They've been guys that you go, okay, if they become something, they're good, but we're not sure what they are.
How much of a project
Stephon
is
Anthony is completely different. If he does not improve one bit, he's the best linebacker we've had since Vilma, period. Now, that's not saying a lot because we've been god-awful, but even if they can't develop him, he's going to be at least an above-average linebacker for the Saints.
Yeah. Juge, do you agree with that?
Definitely. I mean, again, I think it just comes to can he stay healthy and can he get coached up? I mean, I think those are really the two things, but I think just in terms of pure raw talent and ability, I don't know that the Saints have had a linebacker with a higher ceiling than this.
Wow. Kevin, let me ask you this.
In terms of rookies, I mean, I can't remember, you know, Courtney Watson, maybe Cedric Ellis might have been a guy with his speed. But, I mean, other than that, I don't think the C. Grants, the James Allens, the Cedric Ellis's, I mean, they didn't have the
Cedric
ceiling.
Cedric Hodge, right? Cedric Hodge.
They just didn't have the ceiling.
Yeah. Kevin, the Saints have 3 picks so far, and they're going to pick 2 more later in the third round. But of these 3 guys, if I said to you, I want you to say, awesome in year 1, kind of meh in year 1, gives you nothing in year 1. Rank them 1, 2, 3 of what you want, the guy that you want to produce the most, the guy you want to produce the second most, and just kind of be meh. Rank them in that order.
I will start from the bottom, and I'll actually say Andres Pete as the guy that I hope he doesn't see the field. I hope he doesn't see the field. Because if he's not seeing the field, that means that the guys ahead of him are playing very well. That means that the old veterans are still showing that they've got it. And we don't need to give the rookie the opportunity. We don't need to put the rookie in there. Now, I'm sure he'll be good when he gets the opportunity. Maybe put him in fourth quarter scenarios, hopefully when the Saints are up by enough and all you got to do is just, you know, run, protect. And then maybe secondly, I would probably say the outside linebacker. So I'm thinking that's the – who is that? That's the Hawaiian guy, the pass rusher.
Kekaha.
So
yeah.
I only say that because really the main thing is I want Anthony to be the guy that's awesome coming out of the gate, because the Saints need to have a guy who can meet a runner at the line or shortly after the line. So, the Saints running game is, or the run defense has just been a tire fire. And so if you got an inside linebacker who is just ready to just run forward and attack, I'm all for it.
Well, that brings up a good point about the train wreck of the run defense. Andrew, as we go to this draft, let's be real. The next two picks the Saints are going to do in the third round, you can reasonably hope and expect that they could contribute. After that, you're buying lottery tickets, and you're hoping and you're praying, but you can't really expect fifth, sixth, seventh round guys to come in and contribute and fight for a starter. So these next two picks, they're going to be able to fill two more positions. What position, because they're not going to be able to fill everything, you know, they still have a lot of needs. What position do they have to get in these next two third-round picks? What's the one position you're like, they got to pick that position?
I know everyone is still clamoring for receiver, but I still think this draft is so deep at receiver, you can wait until the fifth round. Now, the Saints could go receiver, and it is a need, but I don't think it's something that they have to do. So, that's something to keep an eye on, because that's a position. But I think other than that, I mean, you know, for me, defensive line has to be addressed, preferably a rotational guy that helps them stop the run. Because now they've got the pass rusher. They've got a four-down linebacker that helps them, but now they need to control the line of scrimmage. And so, I don't think at this point in the draft they can get a starter that's going to make an impact, but they can absolutely get a rotational guy that, Tyron Walker needs to be replaced. That's a big loss for the Saints, and they need to get someone in there that can come in and spell Akeem Hicks and Cam Jordan and Broderick Bunkley and kind of get in the mix there in the rotation of those linemen, because they play a lot of them.
Yeah. Brian, what's the position that you're like, they absolutely got to pick in the third round?
I'll one-up you. I won't just go a position. I'll go a player. If he's there at either 75 or 78, you take Ollie Marpet and you skip to the podium. Ollie Marpet is a phenomenal guard prospect. I think he might be the best guard prospect in the draft. You've already taken
AJ Cann's still out there too, right?
Yeah, Cann's out there. I actually like Marpet a little bit more than Cann as far as upside. I think he needs some seasoning, but we have guys he can work behind potentially. And even without it, I think he can come in there and just on a veteran team, a veteran line, at least be acceptable. And his upside is crazy.
Man, how good is the offensive line feeling? If the Saints land AJ Cann or Marpet, how good is the offensive line feeling all of a sudden?
Man.
It's fantastic. Kevin, the Saints didn't trade up, so you didn't melt down. But, and I don't think, and Sean Payton said yesterday, look, the picks were too – we got these picks. We feel like this draft is deep. It's too valuable. We didn't want to move up, which was music to your ears, I'm sure. But there's a lot of rumors swirling that they're going to take a quarterback. If they take Richard Petty or Kyle Petty or Bryce Petty or whoever the hell from Baylor in the third round, is that worthy of a meltdown?
Tom Petty?
Yeah, Tom Petty. I like American Girl.
I don't think it's – no. Gut reaction, not worthy of a meltdown. Maybe worthy of the shrug emoji.
Emoji's fired, man. The Rockets guy got fired. He tweeted out emoji of a horse and a handgun, and he got fired.
Well,
and he was funny, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, he's doing okay. Levitard gave him a part-time job, and he's getting some publicity out of it. So he'll land on his feet pretty quick. If they take Bryce Petty, I would rather them roll the dice on a mid round guy than wait until the very end or try and get some guy who didn't didn't make it through who went through all seven rounds. Like, don't give me Tyler Palco.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
You mean Sean Mannion?
All right. Listen, I had a computer issue.
No, Sean Mannion.
No, Sean Mannion. I had a computer issue before this podcast, and I drank way too much watching the draft. I have to go and do a bathroom break like a little girl. So you guys need to, like, hold it down for, like, 5 minutes, or I'm literally going to pee myself. So do you think you can handle that? Jude, can you just,
yeah,
like...
Yeah, I don't know. It might boost our ratings.
Yeah, it will be. I'll be back in 5 minutes. Too much beer.
All right, fine. I will...
Well, I want to hear from Kevin. Kevin, for Kikaha, we need a nickname. We need preferably a wrestling-relevant nickname, since he's a wrestler.
Okay, so so I'm assuming he's Hawaiian.
He is.
Or is he Samoan?
I think Hawaiian.
I think he's Hawaiian, but he's Polynesian, so there's a lot of similarities.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Differences,
so,
but similarities.
So, if that's, I mean, you know, there are a ton of Samoan Polynesian wrestlers that have, you know, wrestled, and they've all, I mean, unfortunately, a lot of them have just been billed as being from Japan or whatever.
It's racist.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's wrestling, man. Carny business, still stuck in the early 20th century.
Yep.
Huh, a nickname.
Hey, all he's got to learn how to do is the Samoan Spike, and we can call him Umaga.
Ooh, I like that. Actually, you know what? What is his name again?
Haole
Kitaka.
Kitaka.
Oh, Christ's sake. All right. I would just, I.
There's a 50% chance we're all butchering it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there was a wrestler named Ming, who was legitimately one of the scariest human beings on the planet, and he went by one of his ring names when he was coming down was the Face of Fear.
Ooh. I like it. The Face of Fear. Done.
Is that what? Whose nickname is that as I get back from my pee break?
Yeah, he's the Face of Fear, and Ralph is the Face of Beer.
I am.
You guys surprised Randy Gregory is still available? Because I'm not.
Nope. It's okay. He'll forget about it.
I'm actually slightly surprised. I thought Gregory would go before Green, the receiver from Missouri. Andrew, and this is my only reason why. I thought the receiver from Missouri would drop a lot because he didn't play last year. He didn't play
Somebody already took him?
Yeah. Tennessee took me.
Yeah, the Titans did.
Yeah.
Let me say this. If I'm somebody in charge of the Tennessee Titans, I am sticking a private investigator on his tail starting now.
Yeah.
I mean, that
because that guy was at Mizzou for a year. Trust me, private investigator on his tail.
I mean, it just that Andrew, that's the only thing that surprised me. At least Gregory, it's a lot of dope, and he may or may not be addicted to the chronic, but at least he's played the last 2 years. Green, he played like I want to say a year and a half and got injured in 13, didn't play in 14. I mean, that alone makes me hesitant to pick him. Much less the fact
He also may have allegedly committed far serious crimes than just burning a bush.
Yeah, I mean,
allegedly.
I mean,
part of it might be football reason. Don't forget the weight issues with Gregory. There's a lot of people that are worried that he might not be able to handle it in the NFL.
I mean, the weight issue might be a more significant thing than anything else we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this.
That's on the field issue.
Let me ask you this. At what point do you have – well, now they've got the guy from the Kikaha from Washington. They got him, so Gregory becomes, like, redundant. But at what point, guys –
You're already taking a guy with some risk. You know, obviously, the main thing with Kikaha is he's got knee issues. You know, he's had ACL injuries twice. Now, before everyone freaked out about that – he's played the last 2 years injury free. You know, he had 13 sacks
yeah.
and 13, 19 sacks last year. So, you know, I understand the concern and people bringing up his injury history. It's very real, but he has just had two healthy, very productive seasons.
Yeah.
Well, and a lot
that's,
of times
that's
after
the recent
surgery,
history.
It's actually stronger. I have a couple of family
yeah.
members that went through ACL surgery, and if you go through the long version, if you go through the full rehab, it's actually stronger afterwards. He might be healthier now than he was a couple of years ago because he has less of the wear and tear on it from, you know, playing, I assume, since he was a kid after it being repaired. So barring a freak accident, that ACL injury might have been a blessing in disguise for him.
Yeah. I guess my point is, Kevin, you touched on Lyle Collins from LSU, and he's mixed up in a gigantic mess. But at what point, Kevin, do if you're the Saints and you still need a guard, because the Saints have said we don't view him as a tackle. We view Collins as a guard. At what point when he's on the board do you just have to be, fuck it. It's too good of a chance to get a top 10 talent. We're taking him. At what point would you do that if you were in the Saints war room? At what point would Collins be there and you say, even if he doesn't play a down for us, it's worth the risk to take him right here?
I almost hate even answering this, but I would say maybe the fifth round, maybe.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kevin. I mean, I think there's still some things to address. You know, you can't take him in the third round, obviously. You don't have a fourth round pick. I think you start thinking about it in the fifth round. If you still don't have a guard by the sixth round, then I think it's gut check time, and you may need to take him.
All right, and on that note, I have to tag out.
Okay, thanks for joining us, Kevin.
And
right.
Max, the Ravens, see you, Kevin. The Ravens just took Max Williams, who is now officially at 55, the first tight end off the board.
Wow.
Weak class.
Yep.
I think, is it Walford? Is that the name of the guy from Miami?
Yes, Clive Walford.
I wouldn't be totally surprised if the Saints took him at either 75 or 78 if he's hanging around there.
Maybe,
I'm not saying I'm pushing for it, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah, I really like that they've gone defense with these last two picks, and I think in the third round, at least one, if not both, still have to be defense. I mean, defense needs to be a common thread early here for the Saints.
Absolutely. The nice thing is I think they're three picks apart, so you're going to get
yeah.
similar value.
I mean, you know, the experts, they don't know as much as they like to think because their grades are all over the place. But the one thing I will say, McShay loved Kakaha of Washington. I mean, a lot of people said they reached for the guy, Anthony. They reached for Pete. But to me, and I'll start with you, Brian, I don't view it as a reach. If you say to me, well, they picked Pete at 13, but they could have got him at 21. Like, that's not a reach. The only time I worry about a guy the Saints pick about being a reach is if they pick a guy and they pick a guy in round two and every other draft expert is like, dude, that guy wasn't in my top 100, which the Saints don't do, but the Raiders did it a couple years ago with a safety where they picked him in the second round. And every draft analyst was like, that dude, he's not in my top 100. Why are they picking him? Why are they picking him at 37? That's the only time.
Raiders. That's why.
Yeah, but I mean, that's the only time I worry about a guy that's a quote unquote reach. Is that fair?
Well, Ralph, the other thing about reach that I'll just point out real quick is I just think it's one thing if you pick a guy that might have been available five picks after you pick him, but if he's not going to be available the next time you pick, then to me, that's not really a reach because you're making sure you get the guy you like. So
it's all about comparative value.
Yeah, the true definition for me of what would qualify as, yeah, they really reached for this guy is they had a shot at getting him the next time they pick. And I don't think that was true of either player.
Yeah, I'm going to be heading into work in a sec, so I can answer
okay.
one more question if you have one, and then I got to
One
I
more
go.
Question.
who's the guy, your absolute dream scenario with the Saints' next pick?
I think it's the guy I mentioned. I think it's Marpet. If they All get right. him, I love this offensive line going forward. Even if you don't pick up a quarterback this year, a young quarterback looks a lot better when he's got an amazing offensive line in front of him and young talent around him. It gives them more to work with. So
yeah,
that's where I'm looking at it. Get Marpet.
Yeah. All right. Thanks, Brian.
Yep. Later, guys.
See you, man.
All right, Andrew. We'll wrap this up real quick. I mean, you never know with a draft, because I'll be honest. Look, when they had the 2006 draft, right after they completed it, I was like, Reggie Bush is fun, but the rest of these guys, I don't know. I wasn't really thrilled. After 2011, I was like, they got Cam Jordan, they got Ingram. This draft's gonna rock. So you never really know. But they got a couple more picks. How are you? I mean, if I'd have laid this scenario out to you, and if I'd have said, you know, you did like 600 draft simulations, if I'd have simulated my own draft and I'd have given you these three names, how would you feel about it?
I'd feel pretty good, man. I really would. In fact, all three of these guys were picks of mine in the simulations that I made. And it goes back to fit. I mean, these are all guys that are good fits. Now, I've seen Pete fall to 31 in some of these simulations. I've seen Anthony fall to 44 in some of these situations. So, you know, part of me wonders, did the Saints reach? Would those picks have been available to them later? And could they maybe have gotten a different guy? But unfortunately for the Saints, with the Ray situation and Lyle Collins and Danny Shelton getting picked at 12, I just didn't think there was great value at 13. I think the way it played out, with a lot of guys we thought might go top 10, and I include Randy Gregory in that, you know, with everything that transpired, I think talent dropped, and at 13, the Saints didn't really have a slam dunk, easy, clear-cut case. And so they said, you know what, we're just going to solidify our offensive line. We're going to pick a guy that's a great fit that we feel good about, and it may not be amazing value, but we're getting a solid player, and tackle
yeah.
depth is a real issue on our team. And so for me, I'm totally fine with that. And I think if you look at these picks so far, the common thread is character, toughness, and fit. And when you hear Sean Payton talk about what they wanted out of this draft class, I mean, he highlighted all of those items in no uncertain terms. So I think moving forward now, you look at the third round and you look at the holes with this team, I still would love to see another defensive player. Maybe you try to get a playmaker for Breeze too.
Yeah, and the thing that I'll say about the draft is, you know, I really wanted Shelton, but the one thing that gave me pause for Shelton was Bill Polian, when Cleveland drafted him, he said, look, he ran such a bad 40 time at the combine. No player at defensive tackle has ever run as bad a 40 time as he's run and been successful. Now, you can say, look, he's a big fat guy. He doesn't need to run the 40. All he needs to do is clog up the hole, and he'll be fine. That doesn't matter. But measurable things like that matter. And, Andrew, when you're drafting players, you don't want to bet on the guy that's going to be the exception. You know, he might succeed, and he might be the first guy to run that crappy of a 40 and be good at defensive tackle. But that's a risk, you know. So that made me feel a little bit better about not getting Shelton, at least.
Yeah, I just don't think a 40 time matters much at that position because the amount of space that they're running in is pretty limited. You know, I mean, you literally go a yard and you've got hands on your pad. And I think at that position.
But, I mean, all the other defense tackles before him that went to the combine and ran the 42, and he never ran as bad. It's just one of those things that made me feel a little bit better, because like last year when they didn't, or 2 years ago when they didn't get Star from Utah, me and you were kind of depressed about it. So I was a little
it's a disappointing, but you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, I think the Saints, they're filling all the areas of need that we analyzed and suspected they would need to address before the draft started. You know, they're hitting all these spots. So, you know, the order that they're going to fill these spots in is up for interpretation. It's anyone's guess. And the fact of the matter is none of us know. In fact, the Saints don't even know, because part of it comes down to who's available when it's their turn to pick. So I think no one could really predict in what order they were going to address these issues. But so far, I mean, if you ask me, is tackle depth an issue, I would say, my God, if something happens to one of the two starters and Bryce Harris has to go in and start for an extended period of time, I don't feel good about that at all. Yeah, so now they've got a tackle. Okay, pass rush. Junior Gallette, kind of been a problem. He's had some off the field stuff this offseason. Even if he's back, even if he's healthy, they need more pass rush. They just addressed that. Inside linebacker, Curtis Lofton's gone. Don't feel great about Ellerbe. I think Ellerbe could maybe hold it down for a year, maybe two as a starter, but they really need a young guy in the mix that can push him and compete with him, maybe help on special teams at first. They addressed that issue. So those are all needs. So now you go down the list, defensive line, corner, receiver, possibly tight end, maybe quarterback. But those are all, you know, if they hit these one by one and they get guys that you feel can make the team and contribute, then you have to feel good about this draft. So far, so good.
How much better do you feel about the 2015 Saints after three picks in this draft?
I feel better. I do. I mean, these are all three guys that I like. These are all three guys that I would have picked, you know, and obviously the Saints know better than I do, but I think, again, the fit's good. So I think the team, I think really, Ralph, more than talent, the main issue with the Saints last year was maybe a little confidence, maybe a little bit of inner turmoil and lack of maturity. And I really think, from a talent perspective, they may have gotten a little bit of a boost, but from a maturity perspective, I mean, you talk about Anthony Spencer, Ellerbe, Max Unger, these three rookies. This team is getting an infusion of character, and I think that's a big deal right now for this team.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. You know, we'll see. We got one more call we'll take, and then we'll get out of here. We identify you by the last four digits of your phone number, 6463. What's your name and where are you calling from?
Dylan from Metairie. What's up, Ralph?
Dylan, what's up?
Everybody?
Hey,
what's up, Dylan?
Well,
Ralph, you know, when I called in after the Tampa game last year when we were all depressed, you know, we talked about what we wanted the most out of the draft. And, you know, I told you we needed to fix the offensive line, and we needed a mean linebacker. And, you know, so far so good. You know, I think we've gotten a little bit better in those two spots. My only issue so far with the draft was the second round pick. I don't understand why they didn't get Kendricks. And before, you know, you answer that, you know, Walter Football came out with his grade for the Kekaha pick. Walter Football, he didn't even think that he deserved to be drafted in the first seven rounds. He had him going undrafted. You know, he gave, you know, Walter, you know, he gives us, you know, an A through F grade, but then there's an even worse grade. It's a Millen grade, and he gave the Saints a Millen grade for drafting that guy. Now, I mean, I like the guy.
What was his reasoning?
Good things. Wait, what?
What's his reasoning? What's his reasoning for saying he's not draftable?
He said that he's just he didn't give him a grade that he deserved to be drafted in the first seven rounds. I you know, that's it. I mean, I think injuries, and he said he was a little inconsistent. You know, he said that his.
I mean, Dylan,
that, you know,
I think
I
Walter
know.
Football is a
solid.
I think it's a solid enough site, and there's definitely been stuff that I've latched onto before. All I can tell you with Kekaha is that he grades very highly on PFF. So if you like Pro Football Focus, and they have their issues too, but they speak very highly of him. If you look at NFL.com, ESPN.com, where he falls in the rankings, completely in line with where he fell. You know, he's kind of a second to third round grade guy. So I think you could argue maybe he went a little high, but nothing about him, you know, going lower than the third round. So I think that's more data points for you. And the last thing is you can point to, and again, with any player you draft at this point, there's going to be an issue. because they've fallen this far, right? So, you know, even the first-round picks have some issues, but I think any of these players that get drafted at this point, there's going to be something. It's either going to be bad combine or bad character or limitations physically. It's going to be something. With this guy, he ran a slow 40 time, which for a pass rusher, you want to have speed, so that is concerning. And he's had two ACL tears. So, I mean, when you hear that at first glance, I mean that is really scary, and that's why he fell to where he fell. But the bottom line is production: 19 sacks in 14 games. That is the most.
And he played in
history.
And he played the last 2 years too, so he's been healthy.
That's 19 sacks, and he didn't play like. Not to denigrate, like, the SWAC or, like, Conference USA. I mean, he played in the Pac-10. That's a big boy conference.
Yeah,
right,
you know who he was going – you know who he was going up against? Guys like Andres Pete.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
right.
I actually like the pick because I just think the one thing that I read about Anthony, and it may have been on Pro Football Focus or Football Outsiders, they said, you know what? Rob Ryan loves to scheme inside blitzes with his linebackers. And
right.
This guy, Anthony, can get there. I mean, how much have we watched the last 2 years, Andrew, where the Saints blitz and it's a good
they get burned.
Idea, but their linebackers just aren't fast enough and they don't get there and it's a big, huge game?
I mean, look, it's third down. It's third down and six, and you need to get off the field. Who would you rather have as your blitz package? Would you rather have David Hawthorne, Curtis Lofton, and Paris Harrelson, or would you rather have Kikaha, Anthony, and Junior Gallette?
I agree. You know what? I think that, you know, Sean, I mean, for what it seems like, you know, Sean Payton and the coaching staff are just like, we're sick of having shitty linebackers, you know, so they're at least they're trying to do something about it, you know, so I do like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
I mean, Dilly, you never know. The one thing I do think is, this guy from Washington, Kikaha, he may be a guy where in 2 years everybody's like, and hopefully it'll be this way, is like, why didn't the guy who had 19 sacks get picked in the first round? Like, that's what you hope for. And there's always guys that, you know. So, I mean.
You go.
Go ahead.
Oh, wasn't, like, Justin Houston drafted in, like, the second or third round?
Yes.
Yeah,
and
there you go.
Yeah, and I believe he had a bad 40 time too.
Yeah, you know, a player that they compared a Kehaha to was Rob Ninkovich. So, you know, that might be who we're looking
go
at.
Go figure.
Well, I mean,
so, hey Dylan, who do you want the Saints picking in the third round? You don't have to name a player if you don't study it too closely. You can name a position or a player if you want.
Oh, you know what? I really want them to grab a playmaker, you know, somebody, you know, an offensive weapon. That'd be nice. I mean, you know, it's just one thing I've noticed is it seems like all of our divisional rivals have grabbed all these big targets. I mean, everybody in the division has these wide receivers that are, you know, 6'5", 6'6", plus, you know, and we're really the only team besides Colston that has a big target right now, unless, like, we can, like, develop Brandon Coleman or something, but we kind of need a playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and maybe some cornerback depth would be nice too.
Yeah, Dylan. Thanks for the call. Andrew, my two picks. If my dream scenario is the guard from South Carolina, AJ Gann,
mm-hmm.
I think it is.
Gann.
The other guy, Gann, or the guy from Hogwarts. either one of those, because then.
So you really want to solidify the offensive line.
Yeah, because to me, Andrew, if you get a guard that can compete with Lileto and what's the other guy for the Saints? I'm forgetting his name. The other guard that may be in the mix with the name he starts
Senio
with.
Calamete, by the way,
yeah.
Who was teammates with Kikaha. Apparently, they're friends.
Yeah, yeah. So you get your off. You get a guard. Your offensive line. You feel great about it, and you feel great about it, and even if you get, I mean, obviously, if you get crushed by injuries like the Saints did at safety, nothing can save you.
Yeah.
But you feel really good about it.
So, and that's what you, you know, people say, well, why do you draft a position that's pretty solid? Well, you draft a position really that's really solid, and you make it stronger. So if they get a guard.
By the way, Randy Gregory just got taken by the Cowboys. He is now picked.
Of course he did.
Of
course he got picked by the Cowboys. So that, and they need a nose tackle, man, because Bunkley and Jenkins, I mean, they need a nose tackle, Andrew, I think. You know, so if they get a nose, if they get a guy who can play defensive tackle, nose tackle, and a guard, I'll be fine with it. I'm not as worried about wide receiver as draft experts or fans are. I just think Sean Payton and Drew Brees can figure it out there, you know?
They still have some weapons. I mean, you still have Colston, and he's not what he used to be, but you have Brandon Cooks, who obviously we all expect huge things from. C.J. Spiller, for me, is going to be a huge part of this offense. I mean, I really think he catched 80 to 100 balls. So it's going to be interesting. I mean, I still think, obviously, you would love at some point to have a receiver, and you know, they wanted Greg Jennings, so I think a receiver could still happen, even if it's not through the draft. But I think, again, defensively for me, they've got to get a guy up front. They've gotten a couple linebackers now. Yeah, I wouldn't be against two defensive players here in the third round, a corner and a defensive lineman. I feel a little bit better about cornerback, but I think receiver's deep in this draft. You can get one in the fifth round, and I would be okay with them waiting. I don't know if A.J. Can or Ali Marpet are going to fall to the third round, but if they do, you got to consider it.
Pete Prisco gave the pick an A-.
For Kikaha?
Yeah, says Kikaha, yeah. He said nice edge rusher, team needs one. Some injury concerns. The injury concerns, I mean, he's coming. When you have a guy that's the injury concerns are 2 years in the past. I mean, to me, Andrew, that's not really injury. That's not really injury concern. That's just football. You know, is that fair?
It's fair, but if his next injury is ACL again, and that's his third.
That's
tough. Then you could say, like, the dude's done, you know?
Yeah. But, I mean, I feel good about it. I mean, they need to me, if you told me who would I want to be spectacularly awesome, Kikaha. Because if his thing is getting sacks, he's got 30-some-odd in college. If he comes out and he is – a double-digit sack guy as a rookie, or even in the 7-10 range, where on third down, teams become like, we got to block that guy. We can't pronounce his name, but we got to block him. We got to find out where he is. To me, Andrew, that could potentially transform their defense.
I agree. Randy Gregory, 9 sacks last year, 17.5 for his career at Nebraska. Kikaha had more last year alone.
Yeah. 19. So, I mean,
the quarterback. He gets the job done, period.
Yeah.
The guy's
And I mean, the Saints are going on 20 years of not being able to pick a linebacker. It's about time they hit on at least one, I would think. I would suspect one of these linebackers is going to be really good, and one of them will be kind of meh or bad, you know? So, I mean, to me, best-case scenario is one of them is an elite Pro Bowl-level guy, and one of them is like David Hawthorne, where he's starter quality, and you feel okay about him, but he's not setting the world on fire. I mean, you know, every pick you make, Andrew, is not going to hit, unless they're doing 2006 again, you know?
Yeah,
and even 2006, as great as a draft as it was, Roman Harper wasn't spectacular. You know, Shaq Streif, he's a good player, but he's not spectacular. So, you know, we'll see. And like you said, you said what you wanted in the third round. Is there any last final thought you want to give on the rest of the draft? We'll of course recap it next week, but is there any final thought you want to give, Andrew?
Yeah, I think as you as the Saints navigate through this, I think the theme is pretty clear from these first three guys. The Saints want mature, responsible, hardworking, and smart football players, and that's what they've gotten. And you know, it's a mixed bag, but Kikaha, one thing you can point to with him, it's very clear, it's production. With Stephon Anthony, one thing you can point to, it's very clear, it's just his the fact that he's a physical specimen, his combine, you know, how incredible he did with his speed and everything. With Andres Pete, the one thing that you can really point to is his run blocking and his potential. But I think, you know, the common thread with all three, and so I think that points back to, you know, what happened to the Saints in 2014? Why was it such a down year? And again, I think it comes back to lack of leadership, lack of maturity, and it's a very clear message that they're addressing that. So any picks that we have from here on out, I think you should expect more of the same.
Yeah, and, you know, my final thought is, you know, I don't know what the Saints said behind the scenes to, you know, insiders or whatever, but, Andrew, they were pretty honest in all the pre-draft meetings. They kept saying it over and over again what they were going to do, and they went and did it with the first three picks, you know? I mean, not that they were given specific names, because teams don't do that, obviously. Repeating the same stuff over and over and over again, and I don't know whether they told the national media something different to try to create smoke screens or whatever, or the national media just ignored them. But I feel like the Saints, for this draft, if you listen to them, this is what you should have expected.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, so on that note, we'll be back on Monday to recap the rest of it. So for Andrew, for Kevin, for Brian, for calling in, thanks to them. And
Dylan, thanks for calling in.
Thanks, Dylan. Thanks for everybody. Thanks for everybody in the chat room. Thanks for everybody on Twitter. Until next week, be well, and happy drafting.